Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 13 through 18. This is one of my favorite psalms. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, thank you for gathering us together in your name. We pray that you will pour out your spirit upon us this morning as we hear your word proclaimed. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and inspire us with your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Well, this topic of the Sabbath is much on my mind these days. I actually wrote the Pastor's Corner, the first page of our newsletter, which will be coming out at the first of the week, is on the subject of Sabbath rest. You know, and as many of you know, I had the opportunity for some Sabbath rest myself in late April and early May, a time when I truly felt that God was calling me to change the plans that I had originally made, because I was sensing a need for rest and solitude rest and time alone with God. And I have to tell you, I recommend it highly. Having a rested mind and body, coupled with the uninterrupted solitude to contemplate God's voice, can do amazing things for your feeling of well-being, for a feeling of being well-balanced, balanced both physically, mentally, and spiritually. But it's also important to remember that rest is biblical. We are all familiar with the Genesis story, where God rested on the seventh day, the day that we now call the Sabbath. We are commanded to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, in Exodus 20, as you heard me telling Allie this morning, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Moses reminded God's people, whom he led out of Egypt, tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest. And even the beasts of burden, the ox and the donkeys, were given a break. It says, it says 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. And in the New Testament, Jesus himself teaches us about rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, we hear in Matthew 11. And in the Gospel of Mark, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. What an invitation. And even today, Jesus invites us to go with him by ourselves to a quiet place to get some rest. Our scripture this morning begins with Jesus' disciples literally making a way through fields. They're not stealing grain as they journey. What concerns the Pharisees, however, is the fact that they are traveling and gleaning on the Sabbath. They should have stayed put and prepared their snacks on the previous day, the Pharisees thought. But this behavior appears to deliberately neglect the mandate to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy, in the opinion of the Pharisees. However, Jesus disagrees, not because he regards the Sabbath commandments as trivial, but because he sees a larger picture, one that regards the Sabbath in a different light. He turns to another piece of scripture, a story about David, to interpret scripture. He roughly, but not precisely, summarizes 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, a story about David taking consecrated bread that was supposed to be reserved for the priests. We can read about that also in Leviticus. David insisted on the bread because he was a fugitive seeking allies, and he was running away from Saul because David's life was being threatened. And Jesus implies that the priest did nothing wrong in breaking the strict letter of the law concerning the bread. By remedying David's hunger, the priest sustained the life of a weary traveler and contributed to David's quest to live into his calling as the king that was anointed to replace Saul. Jesus, therefore, offers a legal opinion, if you will, one he derives from Scripture itself. He contends that sometimes certain demands of the law are rightly set aside in favor of pursuing greater values or experiencing liberty. With the restoration of his hand, the man in the synagogue probably also receives back his ability to work in the Galilean economy. In receiving that ability, the man may recover his ability to provide for a family. In other words, we need to avoid seeing the miracle as an act of merely fixing something that had gone wrong with the man. The event represents a restoration to wholeness and dignity It means to promote life and human flourishing. Foretastes of resurrection cannot wait. They extend the Sabbath's joy and freedom to all aspects of life. And in this pair of scenes, Jesus does not assail Judaism. He does not reject the law. He does not render the Sabbath obsolete. He does not even call the Pharisees blind guides or hypocrites. But we should note the way in which disagreement about living within the law quickly escalates into hostility, a hostility that eventually will lead some of the most powerful religious authorities to seek Jesus' condemnation and death. Even as the passage emphasizes a commitment to life and vitality, abiding at the heart of God's reign, it also illustrates how religious commitments and values, any religious commitments and values, can be misconstrued and turn oppressive in the hands of careless stewards. And none of us are immune. Such insensitivity and brokenness move Jesus to grief in the synagogue when he considers the stony, Pharaoh-like hearts that regard the law as more valuable than removing suffering and disadvantage before the sun sets. But this passage from Mark also has good news to announce. This story of the coming reign of God will also tell of compassion and transformation. Jesus, like the God who instituted the Sabbath, is committed to preserving life. His ministry will expose the oppressive and corrosive tyrannies of fear and religious hypocrisy wherever they reside. And the greatest news of all, the greatest news of all, is that Jesus will deliver us from them. And that is the story that we want to remember this morning as we now go to this table, as we are remembering the commandment of Sabbath rest, as we are remembering that we are to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. One of the greatest ways that we can do that is to go to the Lord's table and to use this as an opportunity of worship, remembering the Lord who came to save us from our sins, the Lord who died for our sins on a cross and was resurrected and ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to now be with us as we remain faithful in our journey. On this Sabbath day, let us honor God, the God of the Sabbath, at the table of the Lord. Let us go to the table.
Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share in the feast that he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this holy Sabbath day, we bow before you humbly, thanking you for the opportunity to come to your table, to acknowledge the death and salvation that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we do pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these, your gifts, gifts of the bread and the cup. We pray that you will inspire us through the power of your Spirit, that we may truly be disciples, and that we may show your love to all the world. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Most holy Lord, we come to you now with our arms open wide, embracing you in the shadow of your table, where we have received sustenance and hope. By remembering your body and blood, we remember your life and sacrifice. Thank you, precious Lord, for dying for us, and thank you for the grace that makes eternity with you possible. We are grateful beyond words. And Lord, over the years we have learned about the fruit of your Spirit. Make us hungry each and every day for that fruit, so that we will strive to be transformed into your likeness. When people see our love, joy, and peace, let them be certain it is all from you. May your image of grace and servanthood shine through us, and may we have words of compassion and comfort for all who need your loving care. Today we pray for those in our midst and those who cannot be with us, those who are sick or lonely or feeling lost. Lord, we have lifted up to you this morning names of those who need your special care and comfort. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them with your presence, that you will bless them with your healing hand. We bow before you, Almighty God, and we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus, our loving Savior, who first taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.